Good morning. It's an honor to be here, and I'm grateful to the Lord for this opportunity. And again, I would want to say thank you to Pastor Carl, Pastor Sandra, and the leadership of Reach Out Church for having me. It is not something that I take for granted. I will be sharing some of the impact that you're giving and your love has had on the schools that we have in Zambia. But before I do that, I would want just to share a short word from the Lord. Is that fine? Okay. This place is cold. I was saying in the first service, I don't know how you manage. It is extremely cold here. Okay. This morning I want to talk about God calling us as beacons of hope. We all know that when we talk of hope, we talk of confident expectation. A few weeks ago, somebody asked me what I understood by the term hope. And what came to mind was actually a passage of scripture, which is Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16. And I would love to read that using double glasses. The Bible reads, and I'm using New King James Version, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." And I think when we talk of hope, we are talking of a situation where somebody is in a dark place and then light comes in, or light is brought in, which gives them hope. And I'm coming from Zambia, where the past few years we've had very poor rainfall, and our country is the power, the electricity is hydro generated, and that has affected the supply of electricity to an extent that for months the government would give us only 3 hours of electricity. And that would be at night, hoping everybody's sleeping, but everybody had to wake up and do something with that. So there is something about being in the darkness, but we're not talking about the natural darkness. We're talking about people that are in places of depression and issues that are dark. And so when light shines in those places, and then all of a sudden they say, "I can leave," I think that is what hope is. Where life is given, where life was about to be given up. And I believe that Jesus, and again we're looking at that period where we going towards the birth of the Lord, which is so significant, looking at the great generosity of our Father God by sending his Son. And in his coming, it was to come and bring hope to people that were in darkness. Colossians 1:13 says, "You are translated from darkness into light." And that's what he came for. And it is amazing that the way that Dr. Luke records in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, that when Jesus is out in the wilderness and comes back and goes in the synagogue, he is given the scroll to read. And Jesus goes to Isaiah and reads the scroll. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, the Bible reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." I think I can do with one pair of glasses. I'll go close. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Oh, it's even better now. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And I don't think the Lord Jesus Christ was just reading a passage. I think he was reading it from his heart, because he knew that his coming was to come and bring hope, and this hope was going to take him to the cross. So there was a price that had to be paid by his own life so that you and I can have hope. And when you look at the passage where we have this quote, which is Isaiah 61. If you go into verse 3 of 61, the writer starts to say that to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. In verse 4, he says, they will be trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord to bring glory to God. And 4 says, they will rebuild the ancient ruins. So Jesus coming to bring hope. And I believe that this is what he calls us to. As the church, we have to carry that mandate to bring hope. Because there's so much darkness around us. And I think that is the reason we are here. When he was praying for his disciples, he said, Father, do not take them out of the world. But protect them from the evil one. If there was no need for us to do anything and bring hope to others that we have received from the Lord, I think after being saved, we should be going to heaven. But salvation is just the doorway into this kingdom. And then he says, you have been healed so that you can bring healing. Now, hope cannot stand on alone. I think it stands because there is something that I hold on to, or someone that I believe in. And for the church, because of what Jesus Christ did, we can confidently go out and bring hope to those that are in darkness still. In Matthew, when Jesus is talking to his disciples, in Matthew chapter 5, that's exactly what he's speaking. And I believe that is relates to us as well, where in chapter 5 in verse 14 he says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine, that when people see that light, they glorify your Father who is in heaven. Connecting with what we talked about in Isaiah, he said, they shall be called a planting of the Lord, trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, to bring glory to God. And they will rebuild the ancient ruins. So Jesus calls us to be the beacons of hope wherever we are. Corporately as a church, but even as individuals. He calls us to be beacons of hope. I always say that when we look at what is happening, if you come to my country, you'll see big billboards, stop domestic violence, stop gender-based violence, and many other things that the government is doing to bring order. But I say that when the church steps out, and they step out to intervene in these issues, they are a greater force because they are backed by the creator of the heavens and the earth. And they do not just bring information, they bring hope because Jesus died for those very people that they reach. The church is central to transformation because Christ is still alive. He is still alive. And so we are called to bring hope. You might say, I myself am broken. We come to Jesus broken, and he brings healing. And when we receive healing, then we go and reach out to others so that they can also taste the goodness that we find in the Lord. When this morning I was saying that when I think of when I was born, I think we're so many people that we are born on that day. But how many are alive? Some of them had malaria. I've had malaria. I survived. They died. Some of them died in car accidents. So the question is, why am I here? Why am I still alive? Is it because I'm intelligent? It's by his grace. But there has to be a purpose. And so I believe that you and I have been preserved that we may serve, that others may be saved. We, as believers, are still alive that someone may have hope. Amen. And God calls his church to do that. I will end with this account. Some years back, and that was in 1996, we were pastoring a church in the center of Zambia. And I needed to get something from the store, which was about 1.5 miles. I was saying kilometers. 1.5 miles. So I got on a bicycle, cycled there. On my way back, there was a group of boys that were playing soccer. So I got off the bicycle, and I had something that would be like a quarter of a dollar. And I said to these boys, whoever will stand in the goalpost, this is a created goalpost, and if I kick the ball and you save it, I'll give you this money. And one of the boys ran to the front, and you and I know that I wouldn't do a good job. He got the ball. So I gave him the money, and I got on my bicycle, and I went home. Years later, in 2016, I am in Lusaka, which is the capital city, and I'm going by some shops, and there was this young man, finely dressed, with a tie, with a very big smile. And I'm like, okay. And when I got close, he said, Pastor Ann, do you remember me? I don't remember you. And sometimes he say, oh, you know, age is catching up, I can't remember you. And then he said, do you remember, there was a time when you were passing and you find us playing football, and I'm the one that got the ball and you gave me money. And I'm like, wow, I wouldn't remember that. And he said, I was out of school because my mother couldn't buy me books. And actually, I wasn't even living there. I came to visit my auntie that afternoon. When you gave me that money, I went back and bought books, and I went back to school. It was not a situation where I would say I was cycling, then I felt the Lord, you know, my hair was standing up, and I felt the move of the Spirit, get off the bike. No, it was just something that I felt that I, and for me, it was just like passing time with the kids. But I did not have an idea how far that would go. You will never know the ripple effects of the love that you show a person. You will never know. Sometimes it's just a little touch of love. It's a hug. It's a hi. And you never know how far that goes. And God calls us to be those beacons of hope because there's so much pain and darkness around. And we are the representatives of Christ. He has reconciled us and given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what he calls us to. When we are broken, he heals us so that we can reach out and bring healing to someone. So basically, we reach out and point them to Christ because of what he did for us. Amen. He has called us to be beacons of hope. In a while, I'll be sharing some of the amazing things that are happening in my country because of your love and your giving. But would you allow me just to pray before I do that? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you and we bless your holy name. That because of your goodness and your mercy, you have called each one of us by name. And in your own special way, Lord, you can use us to bring hope to someone. We thank you for the opportunity, the blessing of belonging to you and being your bearers of light. So we pray this morning that open our hearts, Lord, and help us to be sensitive to do that which you prompt us to do, that many more who are in darkness, who are in pain, who are giving up, that they may arise and have hope. Help us, Lord, we pray, to be that light. And for those of us who feel that our lights are going out, we pray that by your Holy Spirit you ignite that light and cause it to glow to the end that your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was doing a missions training, we had a lecturer who defined missions as the carrier of hope. And he would say missions can be across the street or across the sea. But there's one thing that he said that has really stuck with me over the years, where he said missions is the attempt to embody the liberating presence of God and releasing it in every human situation. And I think that's powerful. So in bringing hope across the street and across the seas, we do it because we are anchored in Christ. And I am amazed at how practical Reach Out Church is. Hearing of the things that are done here. On Friday, I had the opportunity to be at the food pantry. And I was saying, this is just amazing. There's somebody that needs help, and they have somewhere to go, and it's a church. Praise God. But more than what you're doing here, there's more that you're doing in other countries as well through the Nation to Nation Christian University. And this morning, I just want to share with you a few of those. If I were to give testimonies, we would spend the whole day here. But I'll just share a few of the things that we are doing. When we started the Bible school, in other time when Reach Out Church came on board in 2021. I thought it was the same thing. So in 2021, we have seen tremendous growth in the work that we are doing. And I'll appreciate if we could have, yes. We have grown in terms of, we are now in 25 districts from the five districts we had where the school was. Our country has 116 districts and 10 provinces. We are ambitious. Our vision is to ensure that there is a school in every district of the country. So the other thing that you will notice is that, we can go to the next slide, please. We have graduated 242 students. In April, we had a graduation for 108 students. Now, when we talk about that, it's not just them having a paper, it's lives that are being transformed. A lot of our people, especially in the rural areas of Zambia, you will understand my accent is not like yours, so if you don't understand, just say, can you repeat that one? I was saying, you say water, we say water. So, they are those who God has genuinely called. They have a passion to serve God, but traditional schools will ask for credits. Do you have 5 credits? Or they will ask for a big amount of money, which many of our pastors may not have. So this school is a miracle. There was a time we had a session, and there was a place where we asked, can somebody testify the miracle they experienced? And one man said, my miracle that God has given me is to bring the university to my doorstep. The school is helping in building the capacity of pastors to run their churches. And this is amazing. The other thing that, the next slide, please. The other thing is that we have, we had 13 schools, but since 2021, we have 41 registered schools. However, we have 23 that are active and functional. I just talked about the drought and the lack of electricity. That contributed to that because a lot of schools could not use the projectors because there was no power. And if it came in the night, people are in their homes, right? So the few schools that are doing that are schools that had, we bought small television sets with your support that can use batteries and they can watch the videos as they are learning. And that has been extremely helpful. We are planning to move the graduation next year to allow for the others, hoping that we are going to have good rains in more hours with power. And the next thing that we see is that we have facilitators that we train to be able to run these schools. We have so far trained, from 2021, we have trained 59 facilitators. Some of them do not go back and do start schools, but what we are planning to do in the coming year, from the 41 schools, those that are not functional, we want to go back and encourage them and remobilize them and also see how we can get the facilitators to be active. We currently have 354 students enrolled in Zambia, and we are praying for more. We have a school that has started in South Africa. It's quite a small school, but we actually just gave them the material. We have a school in Zimbabwe. They have 7 students. They have been a little bit slow. We actually, God willing, we could visit next year and just encourage them. So we have those men and women of God studying because of your help. I would want to share some testimonies and impact, the actual impact of these schools. One of the courses that we have is the community development. And one of our pastors actually had a passion to start to train, after being trained on how to make compost manure. His focus has been to train communities on how to make compost manure. Fertilizer is becoming very expensive. The government has removed the subsidies. So farmers in the rural areas are not able to buy the amount of fertilizer they would need. But this system is helping to heal the land and use organic fertilizer for them to have good yields. So the next slide, you see actually community members that are working on making the compost manure. The other thing that we have also observed is that our pastors are having their capacity built where they are no longer depending on the church for their provision. They are venturing into businesses, and now they are helping their communities in terms of helping the vulnerable with whatever they are having. One pastor said, "For a long time, I depended on the community, but now I can actually reach out and help." And that has brought growth in our church because we are now reaching out to people that are vulnerable in our community because of the trainings that they have acquired through Nation to Nation Christian University. The next testimony that I would want to share is that it is helping with household food security. The slide that you're looking at is in the southern part of Zambia, where a group of 8 students came together, and these are pastors. So they started having meetings with their members and encouraging each household to have a vegetable garden. And they would encourage them, ensuring that their members have a vegetable garden. That's cool, because they save money. Instead of buying vegetables, they have. And the children will not go hungry. They will have at least some vegetables, and that is amazing. The other testimony or impact story is the lady that you see in the video in the slide holding a baby. Her name is Joyce. Joyce was in one of our schools up north, and she went through the course on Ministry of Helps. And that seemed to trigger a passion within her to help the vulnerable. But hers is a story where she started an organization called Silent Voices, because in the town where she was, there was a record of many young girls who were getting pregnant early, trying to abort, and they were dying due to abortion. And so what she has been doing, she's been offering counseling. When they hear of a girl that is pregnant, they actually reach out, offer counseling, and help that girl not to abort, but then take the pregnancy to full term, and then later encourage the girl to be enlisted back into school. This year alone, they have saved 4 lives, those babies. And she goes into schools and talks to young girls. When you think of that, and again I say thank you on behalf of Zambia for your love and your support. Because even when you talk about pastors being trained, you're not just talking about so many pastors. You're talking about their congregations being blessed, and the families within those congregations. So you will never understand how far that blessing goes. The ripple effect will only be revealed to us when we get to heaven. And thank you so very much. Lives are being transformed. Lives are being changed because of your love. And God richly bless you. Amen.
Thanks, Annie. Amen. Well, we have the privilege of doing something else this morning just before we close. In this little box here are contained enough materials, enough little USB flash drives for 50 more Bible schools in Zambia. So what we'd like to do is pray over them. Now, again, think of the multiplication. The Bible schools, they're not just for people there. This is for pastors and leaders. So you think of the multiplication. There's 50, so 50 schools, let's say 10 students or 10 leaders per school, that's 500 pastors and leaders. Now multiply that by, you know, a congregation of maybe 100. You see where the numbers go. It becomes tens of thousands of people being impacted that some will never know on this side of time, but we will know in eternity. So I'd like you to stand with me. We're going to pray over these schools and believe God for them to have impact. And again, if you'd like to support financially for that, you're welcome to do that. You can do that through, you know, offering envelopes or through our online giving. Just mention for Zambia, and every penny will go there. These schools make a difference. You only heard a couple little stories. There's tens of thousands of stories already of people being impacted. You know, it's just amazing. In fact, that lady, you didn't really tell the whole story. The lady who's saving those babies, she was a pastor's wife, and she thought, I can't do anything for God. I'm just a pastor's wife. Because there, it's a very male-dominated society. But she learned in Bible school that you can do this. And she actually rose up and is affecting, saved babies. Just because of what you did, this lady is able to do that. And there's more stories. Again, we could be here all day talking about it. But let's take a minute and just pray that God uses these schools to bring honor and glory to Him. Amen. Father, we just thank you for the privilege of being a part of this, Lord God, both in Zambia and the DR and in Haiti. But Lord, we specifically pray for these 50 schools. Lord God, I know Annie, she's going to have a plan where to plant them and where they're going to go. But Lord God, you know best. And so, Lord, I pray that each school goes to its designated place, that it was designated before the foundations of time. You knew there was going to be a school there. So, Lord God, you know who's going to attend these schools, who's going to be trained, and the lives it's going to impact. Lord God, we ask right now in Jesus' name that you will guard over these schools, Lord God, that they will be what they've been destined to be, that no evil shall befall them, Lord God, no attack of the enemy shall stand, but everything will be defeated in the name of Jesus, that these schools will be established and make a difference and touch lives, Lord God, to the multiplication, Lord, above any number we can even dream of or think of. Lord, I pray for Annie as she's here in the States for a few more days visiting family and heads back home to her country of Zambia. You will bless her as she continues to be an ambassador for you, representing Jesus. So bless her and protect her as well. We thank you, Lord, for this congregation, for those that are here or those that are watching. Bless them, Lord, as they are beacons of hope in their family, their communities, and here in the Hudson Valley. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. And Annie will be here. You got questions, ask away. Anything we can do to pray for you, we'd be happy to do that. God bless you.